Board of Supervisors come to order. Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather again as we do on a regular basis to conduct business of the county. I want to give you thanks for those who serve, for those who work in the various agencies and departments of our county. We thank you for what they do. It makes it possible for us to live in one of the best places in California. And truly we express our gratitude for that. God, as we look around and see the blessings in our life, we need to be brought to a place of gratitude. And we need to express thanksgiving and encourage one another by encouraging them for the work that they do. So we appreciate all that is done for the meeting and the agenda today. May it go smoothly. May there be good discussion when needed. And Father, may it be wisdom applied when making decisions. And we give you thanks for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority and County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation. Let's see, we'll do roll call. Supervisor Haupt.
Present.
Supervisor Cobbseth.
Here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
Thank you much.
All right. This is time for presentations from the public. This time for slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. When comments, you can present comments by the board by presenting 7 copies to the clerk and addressing the board. Please state your name for the record prior to providing the comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Anything, Anna?
Sure, none online.
We'll move on to item 6, which is our consent agenda. And let's see here. I'm going to pull an item. Anyone else have an item that needs to be pulled?
I'll be pulling item K.
Item K. I'd like to pull M2. M2. And I'm going to pull item E. We'll start with E. I need a motion from the board. I'm going to be voting no on this one, which is opposed to my previous.
So moved. Second letter.
Motion and second letter.
Okay, give me just a sec. That was for item E. It was Chris. And help. Help for the second.
Me.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Thank you. In doing something else here, sorry. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseth.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
No. And then we're going to move on to the next item. Supervisor Chris, will you recuse yourself?
Yeah, just okay. Recuse for this
one. I move to approve. Second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseth.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris. Oh, recused, sorry. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Come on, Draft. Item M2.
So it says this is for GM registration fees for the mobile unit, some $23,000, trying to figure out. Is that really what it is?
Good morning, Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services. Yes, that's the number we received from the auditor. We purchased the van out of the state, and so those fees obviously were included in the purchase price. So yes, that is the number we received from the auditor.
How much was the unit?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I can get that information to you.
So is this sales tax and DMV fees?
It's registration, yeah. And DMV fees.
Sales tax.
That seems like a lot.
Yes.
We do.
Well, that was That would make more sense, but okay.
We purchased it out of California, so that's
okay. Thank
I
you.
Will get back to you with regard
yeah,
to the
I,
overall
it just
price.
Was, it's such an exorbitant amount. I was
yes.
just like, holy cow, we could buy another car, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, maybe a complete breakdown.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's a great band.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsek?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay. Item 6 is departmental requests. We'll start with item A, community development operation regarding Happy Fire Complex.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Chairman Valenzuela, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This item is a continuation or a reaffirmation of the health officer's proclamation in regard to the Happy Camp Complex. Fires, specifically the head fire, we lost about 11 homes, and another structure was lost in the Purge Fire. I'm going to be meeting with the State Office of Emergency Services Wednesday or Thursday morning. Still in efforts trying to get the Department of Toxics and Substance Control up here to assist with the hazard material removal. For those operations to continue, we need to have that health officer proclamation in place.
So while I would like to see stronger condemnation of the smoke and its impact on the public in this resolution, I'll move to reaffirm. I'm making a motion.
All right. Would you like it to be redrafted?
We'll visit that again.
Do we have a motion?
I'll second.
Okay, Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsek?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And that's for another 30 days, correct?
Correct.
Thank
yes.
you.
Pre-approved building plans.
Pre-approved building plans. This is a continued item from last board meeting. Essentially, planning department process and obtain a REAP grant with which contracted out with the architectural design group to create these plans that we were not able to present at the last meeting. So just to recap a little bit, these are countywide, not specific to fires. The cities can use them. The focus of this is ADUs for additional housing for the county. However, that said, it can also be utilized as single family dwellings. So we have a right here that will have Lisa Jarrett come up here and present the specifics, go through each of the models. And also, we have Mr. Glenn Shockensy here to ask or answer any of the building department questions that may come up. So, with that, I will turn it over to Rachel.
Thank you, Rick. Rachel Jarrett, Senior Planner. I'm just going to do a brief overview of these plans, but please stop me if you have any questions about any of them. All of these plans are available in three different home styles. They're the Craftsman, the Farmhouse, and the Modern, and there are seven different floor plans that people can choose from. They range in size from the smallest, which we have up on the screen here, which is the Efficiency Studio, which is just under 400 square feet, all the way up to a 1,650 three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath single-family dwelling with an oversized two-car garage. So if you take a look at this, you can see that it is a very small efficiency dwelling. The reason why we wanted this as one of the plans is since I've been with the county, we have had people who just want to build the smallest thing that they can possibly build. They own a small piece of property. They can't afford a manufactured home to be placed on the property, but if they can just get a set of plans to build the simplest, littlest house that they possibly can, that's all they've really wanted. And so this is to address those people who can't afford to build something bigger, who don't need something bigger, who don't want something bigger. It still has a kitchen, still has a full bath. It even has space for a stacked washer dryer. And the porch on all of these units is 6 feet deep minimum, except for one, which has two porches, and they're slightly smaller. So we can go on to the next slide. The next one is a studio, and it's 624 square feet. Again, you can see that it's available in the three house styles. One of the focuses that we wanted was to allow people to age in place or to have a little bit of extra space in case they are wheelchair bound or if they need a walker. So most of our units are designed for ADA compatibility. You can see that the bathroom is slightly bigger than a standard hallway bathroom, and that's because we wanted to give people that extra space. Since we did have that extra space, it allowed us to put a little linen closet tucked in behind the shower. There's also the closet right outside. Since this is an ADA plan, we have the washer dryers next to each other, the space for them next to each other side by side as opposed to stacked. Again, it has a full kitchen. This one has an optional one-car garage, and it also has that six-foot front porch that runs across the full width of the front of the house. Next slide. And this one is our only two-story. This is to give people the option to have an apartment above a garage if they wanted to just live in a small unit while they're maybe building a bigger home. This is an option for them. Or if they already have a home and they want to build an ADU, but maybe they didn't build a garage when they first built their home, and they want to stick that ADU up on top, this gives them the ability to have that garage and then have the upstairs studio unit detached as far as you can lock the door in that stairwell. It's an interior stairwell as opposed to an exterior. And you can lock that door that goes either into the garage or you can lock it into the studio itself. Because that stairwell is closed on both sides by doors. It is a studio again, same square footage as the previous one. Two-car garage down below. This is the only unit that for the two-car garage, it has separate garage doors, and that's because upstairs there's a deck. This one has a six-foot front porch, and then it has a six-foot deep deck, and that deck runs the entire width of the side of that house. Again, it has a bathroom full kitchen. This kitchen is actually quite large, so it could be repurposed to have a portion of it as an office, a separate little Murphy bed for the bedroom area, whatever they end up wanting to do with this one. Since this is an upstairs unit, it's obviously not very ADA compliant, so we have a stacked washer dryer in order to save space and give a little bit more room for that closet that's right off of the bathroom. Next slide. This one is the only one bedroom that we have. It has a garage. The garage is not optional on this one, and the reason being is that we tried to save some space in the interior square footage by moving that water heater out into the garage. So if you did want to build this and you didn't want the garage, then you would need to work with the designer and find a new place for it, either inside or have some sort of exterior shelter for the water heater where it's located already. This is a cute little one bedroom that has a kitchen area with an island and a side-by-side washer dryer. It again has the a linen closet in the bathroom, as well as having a large closet for this size at least. It's about a 7-foot closet in that bedroom right there. Again, three different styles. Something to mention, all of these floor plans can be mirrored, so if somebody wanted it flip-flopped, they're more than welcome to do that. That is something that would be possible for this plan set. This one has slightly different dimensions for the front porch. The modern has a 6-foot deep front porch, but the farmhouse and the craftsman on this one are actually 8-foot deep. So one of the goals with this plan set that we had the designer come up with is that we really wanted to make sure that there was a lot of exterior living space available to people. So even though these are really small units, honestly, my house is much bigger. I do not have a 6-foot front porch that is as big as even the smallest of these. So that is something we really wanted to give people, is that extra square footage that doesn't count towards the home square footage itself. It just gives them some exterior covered living space that they can enjoy. Next slide. Two-bedroom, one bath, similar bathroom as the past few that we've seen, with the little closet inside and then a hallway closet outside, side-by-side washer-dryer. slightly larger living area and kitchen area with an optional one-car garage. This one, as you can see, depending on the style, you have different widths of the front porch. The farmhouse on this one has the front porch the full width of the front of the house, but on the Craftsman and the Modern, it's slightly smaller, but still a nice size front porch for both of those. Next slide. This is the largest unit that can be used as an accessory dwelling unit as well as a main unit. It's the three-bedroom, two-bath unit with a two-car garage. You can tell that the garage is not optional because we moved the washer, dryer, and the water heater out there. This one, we tried to make it so that there was more space on the outside for people to enjoy because it is such a small house compared to what most people are building these days, at least. Personally, I grew up with a house that was smaller than this, so this to me would have been just fine. But today, a lot of the houses that we see coming through our department are upwards of about 2,000 plus for the custom homes that aren't manufactured homes that are being delivered. So this one is pretty small compared to what a lot of people are building on site, but it does have a really nice feature in the hallway bathroom in that the shower and the toilet are in a separate room from the double sink. So for this particular size house, having a double sink and having a separate room for the shower and the toilet is an added bonus. That way you're not going to be like me and having your kids banging on the bathroom door saying, "Hurry up in there!" So this way you can have multiple people enjoying that bathroom and not having strife in your home. With a lot of people, they have larger families or they have families that are extended that are living with them, so that gives them this extra little bit of space to enjoy that. This has an ensuite in the master bathroom, again with a double vanity. It has a hallway area between the bedroom and the bathroom as a sound cushion, and that hallway has closets on either side of it. The front porch on this particular unit, measuring from the front door to the edge of the eave, is actually 12 feet, so it's a huge, huge front porch for this size unit. If you measure from the front wall of the master bedroom to the edge of the eave, that's 6 feet. So you can see that the little square area in front of the front door is 12 feet deep, and then a little bit further up is 6 foot deep. So it's a really nice size front porch. This one also has a rear porch where it's a covered area so that when you walk from the kitchen into the garage, you're covered and it's not going to expose you to the elements so much. One of the things that we did for this unit and for the next one is that knowing that lot sizes vary, we made it so that you have an optional garage door location. So we're designing it so that it's on the left side on this image that we're looking at. However, the garage door, if you notice a little teeny tiny writing that you probably can't read unless you look up close, it says alternate door location. So if somebody has a narrow lot that they wanted to build this on, they can have that garage door location relocated to that side, and then they can either choose to have the front door be the door that goes into the kitchen or keep it the way it is where it's on the left side going directly into the living room area. That's about it for this one if you want to go on to the next slide. This is the final plan that we had them come up with. It's another three bedroom, but this one has an extra half bath. The extra half bath is in the laundry room. This is the only one that has an actual laundry room itself, but since it's a larger unit, we were able to fit that in here. The garage on this one is also larger. It's about 600 square feet just for the garage itself. However, that square footage doesn't count in the total square footage of 1,650 square feet for this one. The master bedroom has an ensuite with a walk-in closet, and the ensuite itself has an extra closet with a little closet in between the two rooms. It has a double vanity, and then it has that separate room for the shower and the toilet. A standard hallway bathroom is on the other end of the house with two smaller bedrooms. And then the master bedroom has a sliding glass door that leads out to the backyard, and there's an additional sliding glass door that's off of the living room. This is the only other unit that has a kitchen island. This one obviously is much bigger. That island is 4 foot by 8 feet as it's designed, so there's lots of space for eating in the kitchen or in the dining room, which this is the only unit that has a dining room itself. This one, as well as the previous one, as I mentioned, it has an alternate garage door location. On the image, you can see that there are two different garage doors shown on it. So you can imagine if you have a long, skinny lot, having one that's closer to the front door would be better than having it towards the street side, as we're showing in the image. But you have the option of picking which one you want. I think that's about it for all of our plans. Did anybody have any questions before I throw it back to Rick?
Questions?
Yeah, I got one. Process-wise, I think it's a great, you know, to cut down on workload in your department. I guess what I'm curious about is somebody comes in and says, I want to do that plan, but I'd like to capture the, because I have a large family, I'd like to capture.
You'd like to have what?
Because I have a large family, I'd like to capture the garage's living space. How much more process does that throw on you?
How much more? I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
How much more process does that throw?
So if you wanted to convert the garage into more?
The living room.
Oh, go ahead.
Is that a complete redo or just
morning,
a
Len Schock is minor change? Deputy Director of Buildings. So you could do that as a revision to the plans when you turned it in. There's some modifications that you'd probably have to do because obviously Title 24 doesn't have that set up as living area, so you'd have to do a modification. So you could have that done and move forward. It's possible.
Okay.
No, nothing. Looks great. I did.
No, it does look good. Just for the public, one question I had was somebody you're rolling this out for everyone to see. So the plans are free of charge to customers?
Correct. In Siskiyou County, they are.
Awesome. And then they don't have to pay the planning check fees, but they do have to pay for permit fees.
Correct. So the plan check fee is waived because we'll check it in the beginning. It'll be pre-approved, and then it's the permit fees as usual, depending on your condition. Obviously, if you're a fire victim, you get to use the ordinance and see how that goes.
That's the only question I have. I figured people from the public would have those questions. Thank you.
And this last home is not an ADU. This is a regular residence.
Correct. It's over the 1,200 square foot threshold, so this is actually a regular.
Okay, you have to make any decision here, or tell you to go on and do good work.
Go on and do good work.
Wendy?
I believe we missed the remainder of the consent agenda. We need a motion and a second for the remainder.
Well, I'm sure we did that, Wendy. You go back and
I looked and I didn't see it.
This is working.
Sorry, Angela.
Anna.
We are on.
Is everybody here?
I know the dais, some of these microphones are not.
Okay.
The best.
I'll make a motion to approve the second final consent.
There we go. Okay, Supervisor Howe for the remainder of the consent. Supervisor Kopstad?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes, that's our regular schedule program. 6C, Supervisor CAO Angela Davis. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Chairman Valenzuela, members of the Board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. With regards to items 6C, D, and E, I'm requesting to pull these items from the agenda, and we do not have a future date to place the items, so I'm requesting to completely pull these items until further notice.
Okay. That's what's going to happen, Wendy.
All righty.
We're going to move on, and we're going to convene as County Service Area 4. Any public comment?
Showing
none
online.
Item D, transfer of funds. Move to approve. Second.
Okay. Director Haub?
Aye.
Director Kopstad?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Yes. We're going to adjourn as County Service Area 4 and convene as in-home support services public authority. Any public comment?
Showing none online.
Minute approval. Move to approve.
Second.
Righty. Supervisor or Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopstad?
Abstain.
Abstain on that one. Okay. Supervisor Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Thank
we're
you.
Convened back as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and we're going to go to appointments. County Clerk.
Okay. This is the appointment of one member to an unscheduled vacancy on the Copco Lake Fire Protection District. This is to establish a quorum, so we can only appoint one. On September 15th, the clerk's office received verbal information of the recent passing of Tori Belongi, who was a member of the district board, and that put the district below a quorum. The clerk's office, we did our posting as well as notices, press release to the newspapers, as well as the online, myricanews.com. And then the district itself posted the notice within the district boundaries on September 15th as well. And, of course, with this being a special district, the members need to be registered voters living within the district, and they will be required to file a Form 700 Statement of Economic Interest. At the time the agenda worksheet was created, the clerk's office had received a letter of interest in serving on the district board. This is from Susan Eikenberry, who is eligible to serve as an active voter, and she does reside within the district. After they make this appointment, they'll be able to go on with their business, and then eventually they'll be able to do appointments to fill the other vacancies, but at this point we just need the one appointment. And she is the only one that applied.
So moved to appoint Susan Eikenberry.
Thank you.
Also like to thank the county auditor, because they're behind on their payments and stuff right now, so the county auditor is going to be helping them out. I appreciate her willing to step forward to help them out.
Thank you. Alrighty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Thank you much.
Okay, let's go on to public hearings. We have a...
Oh, we have a minute approval for the board.
Oh, minute approval?
September 19th.
Oh, okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Alright. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsett?
Abstain.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to move on to public hearings. We have community development planning. Just a couple of waves left. For the Bernadette. Our guru, our Wayzak guru.
Since both these are voice and act, I'll be recusing.
Adios. Okay. For the open hearing, let's hear staff report.
And the first one I have is the Willow Creek LLC.
Yep.
Okay, so we have WR Willow Creek LLC has recently purchased property that is only a portion of an existing contract. As required by the county guidelines, they have applied for a Williamson Act contract amendment, which proposes to rescind their property from the existing Williamson Act contract and to create a contract consisting solely of the property under their ownership. The project site is located north and east of the city of Montague on Airport Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During a review of the project, it was found that one parcel at 6.5 acres is substandard in size. Staff informed the applicant and discussed the option of a boundary line adjustment. The applicant explored this option and has decided to leave the 6.5 acre parcel as is and move forward with her proposal, as indicated in her email to staff, which is included as Exhibit F to the Ag Preserve Administrator's staff report. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts, adopting resolutions amending the existing Ag Preserve to remove the subject property, to rescind the property from the existing contract, create an individual ag preserve and corresponding contract, and the resolution that directs staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for that substandard parcel. Thank you.
Any correspondence, Wendy?
No correspondence per se, but I did receive one of our public hearing notifications letters back to Averne Hager. It was returned undeliverable.
Okay. Any reports by any other departments?
None from the clerk's side.
Any proponents here? No opponents. Public comment?
Showing them online.
No rebuttals. Do we close this one?
Resolutions, yes, correct. We can close it.
Okay, we're going to close the hearing. Discussion with the board.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Motion and a second.
All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. Item B, community development. It's a continuation of the Williams Act. Anytime you're ready, Bernadette, go ahead.
Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. So Outpost MR LLC has proposed a boundary line adjustment to transfer approximately 2.15 acres between two parcels, both under their ownership. This would make the entire resultant parcel one south of Stewart Springs Road. Because the subject property is within an ag preserve and encumbered by two different Williams Mac contracts, the preserving contract must be amended to address this proposed boundary line adjustment. This proposed amendment was brought before the board on September 19th and continued to today's meeting. As previously discussed during staff's review, it was found that a portion of resultant parcel 2, approximately 193.7 acres, is not within an ag preserve, as shown in figure 1 of the staff report, and we have that up on the screen for you. According to the county rules for the establishment and administration of ag preserves and Williams Mac contracts, when altering the boundaries of or approving a new Williams Mac contract, the entire legal parcel will be evaluated. Having only portions of parcels encumbered by Williams Mac contracts means pieces of that parcel will have different restrictions regarding use and development. This could allow portions of the property to be developed with uses that are not considered compatible with Williams Mac. To correct this, staff recommends the board consider the inclusion of the entire legal parcel to not be a significant increase pursuant to County Guidelines Section 3A, and increasing the ag preserve by 193.7 acres, which is approximately 7.5% of that legal parcel. Utilizing the values provided within the assessor's comment, Exhibit D, to the staff report, the inclusion of the 193 acres would result in approximately $1,033 in loss of annual tax revenue. In order to accomplish this proposal, staff would recommend to first rescind the property from the existing Williams Mac contracts, amend the existing agricultural preserve to remove the subject property, create a new preserve, increasing the size by 193.7 acres, and create a corresponding Williams Mac contract which reflects the proposed boundary line adjustment configuration and increased acreage. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA, pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt the resolutions approving this rescission and the applicant's reentry of Williams Mac contracts and amending the ag preserve. The applicant team has also informed staff they would like to request the hearing to be continued to the November 7th meeting. Thank you.
Did you just say you want this to continue?
They sent an email asking that.
We'll go through the process and we'll get to that point. Any correspondence, Wendy?
Not at the clerk's level.
Nothing from the outside agencies? No proponents or opponents? Any public comment?
Showing none online.
No rebuttal, so we want to continue this hearing?
That's the applicant's request.
Okay, so any discussion by the board?
So, in simple terms, can you just kind of let me know what's trying to take place here? I think I understand what it is, but I'm still a little bit...
Absolutely. As you can see on the map, Stewart Springs Road runs through and connects to Old Highway 99. Yeah. There's 2.15 acres on the north side of that that is currently encumbered or included in the parcel south of the road. So they're wanting to move that 2.15 acres to the area that's surrounded in red, which is resultant parcel 2. That's the initial proposal, but because of the Williams and Mac contracts, we have to amend those and clean up the ag preserve.
So I heard you want to increase by 193 acres.
Correct. So the area.
Which parcel is that?
That's the hatched area in red. So it's already a part of that legal parcel. Everything included in the red is one legal parcel.
Okay. Except
so
that.
That hatched area is part of the legal parcel, but it's not in an ag preserve.
And do we know why?
We don't know why. It was applied for originally as it is. I do not know why the owner did not include that. My suspicion is that they maybe have been pretty honest people, and that just wasn't a high-producing ag part of their property, and maybe that's why they didn't include it. I'm not sure why they wouldn't include their whole property.
So what's the blue that you've got marked out?
The blue is resultant parcel one of the boundary line adjustment. So that's going to be a separate contract.
It's different altogether.
Yeah, it's just moving that 2.15 acres between the blue parcel and the red parcel.
Which is where? That's where I'm lost here.
It's very difficult to see, but it's just this little piece right here.
Oh, that little triangle right there on the corner. Okay. And so you're talking two different contracts, but the same owner?
Yes.
And is there a reason they're not encumbering the blue and the red together?
It was not
requested.
It was not part of their project to divulge that information.
Okay. Any other questions for the board? Okay, we're going to continue to spread it.
Wait, one more quick question. So is the hashed mark area ag soils?
So we evaluated the entire legal parcel according to the guidelines, and it does meet the requirements as a whole. So we map the entire area, look at the soils for the entire thing, and then do the calculation. So we did not individually evaluate that.
That parcel, that chunk.
Area, that hatched area was not looked at individually.
And will it be?
I can do that.
I don't know what it takes on your part, but it'd be kind of, I'd like to know.
Absolutely. I can do that.
Thank you. Any other questions? It's
a floodplain.
Yeah.
It looks like, is it a floodplain?
Yeah, we don't evaluate for floodplain in acquisition.
Well, I know, but the Mitchell County overlay.
I can check it. Yeah.
Still no questions from the public, so we're going to continue this for the applicant's report.
Okay.
To what day?
November 7th.
November 7th.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Before.
Word it up.
One more thing here. I mean, we've been pretty. I know we've been flexible on smaller parcels with regard to adding land into the Livingston Act. This is a larger piece that we're looking at. And I think we've been we're not going to add any new Livingston Act contracts. So that's the other question, I guess, that I'm going to ask is, because this one is 193 acres and some odd, it's not a 1 or 2 or 3 acre deal where we're just trying to do cleanup.
I had asked that in the last thing, because I think that's my objection to it, was adding percentage. They are going to evaluate whatever that internally, you know, coming back with some recommendations.
So the county guidelines do not define what is considered not substantial. So it allows for a not substantial increase.
Right.
So it depends on the situation. So basically to be determined by the board. When we do an update to the county guidelines, we can kind of tune that in as to what a percentage that you're thinking. But right now it's open, you know, per project.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
The substantial to me, or non-substantial, is, you know, probably 10 acres or less, I'll put it that way. But, you know, 193 acres is a little bit different. So I want to be careful. I want to be consistent in what we've done in the past with regard to, we've been basically adding no new lands into it.
Right. So since the guidelines have been updated, we have not increased
any
ag reserve.
Understood. But I guess if we're opening that door, that's where I'm getting a little bit concerned that are we going to still be consistent?
This would set them up. This would be our first one.
Rick, did you have something else?
Yeah, I just want to add, with the upgraded guidelines, or the rules, so to speak,
We are really focused on the legal parcel aspect of it, too. So that's a little different dynamic. Prior to that, they were by APN numbers, mm-hmm. which aren't necessarily a legal parcel.
Right.
So in this case, you have one very large legal parcel. That area that's at subject is inside of that legal parcel.
It is, okay.
So as far as trying to keep things cleaner, we want to try to dedicate ourselves to dealing with preserves and contracts within inside the legal parcels.
Gotcha. I agree there. I get what you're saying. The loss in tax revenue, that $1,300 some odd, is that just the county portion, or is that the total property tax?
That's the total taxes that the assessors, the collection.
Okay.
So that's
the county's portion of that would be 22%-ish.
Yeah, they don't include that in their comment to us.
Okay, but it would be.
Oh, okay.
I think, because we don't get that whole 1300, that's
yeah.
split up. So if you can find out that question as well, that'll help.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're there to move on.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. All these are pertinent things. Okay, so we're going to go into closed session.